and a half one.
Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info.
Welcome to episode 150 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 20th of August, 2011. Tech Webcast is recorded live every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's hosts are Brad, Jason, and a cast of thousands.
Yes, indeed, we do.
Special guest is Adam Turner from Gadgets on the Go and Digital Life. How are you doing, Brad?
Hey, Jason, how are you, mate?
Pretty good. We've reached 150. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. We've done it over 2 years, mate. I can't believe it. We're still going.
Pretty amazing stuff. They haven't kicked us off yet.
No, we haven't. No, they haven't. And it's good. It's been good so far. With you on, and we've got John back on, and we've got a lot of people on. Steve and Lee and
Timmy,
and we got Tim, and we got too many people to name. But I want to play this. I got something from Dylan Lewis here. Now Lee's heard this before, so this is pretty cool. I'm going to play this a couple of times in the show, so have a listen to this.
Yo, Tech Webcast, it's Dylan Lewis here. Just wanted to say happy episodes. Can't believe you've done so many. Makes me want to go. Yous are awesome. Keep up the good work. I know you got plenty more in you. Maybe another episodes. So what happens now? Do we have a party? I bought some beers. I guess it's time to say. Wow, wow, wow. I bought you some presents. Here you go. It's a chicken sound effect. I hope you like it. Got you this too. It's a cow sound effect. Anyway, I hope you like the beer and the presents. Respect to you all, and please have me on again soon because I love chatting to you dudes. Happy episode birthday to you. Love you, Tech Webcast. Bye for now from Dylan Lewis.
And a cow to end it. Great stuff, Dylan.
He loves the cows, doesn't he?
He does indeed, mate. He does indeed. And I think that was done in GarageBand.
Cool.
And All right, so let's have a chat to Adam Turner. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
That's why, mate. So, what
have you on the show?
Good, yeah, good to have you on the show, man.
Thank you for having me. Happy birthday anniversary.
Thank you very much. And thanks, mate. So, so what do you do on the what do you do on the internet?
I'm a journalist. Freelance technology journalist. I used to work for the Age newspaper. I did a cadetship there in 98, okay. I think.
Cool.
And then I worked on the Green Guide for a while as a TV reviewer, and then I moved over to the tech section in about 2000. In the end, I was deputy editor of the IT section, but I left in 2005 to go freelance, so I now work for myself from home. I write for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald in print, sections like Livewire and Green Guide and The Guide in the Sydney Morning Herald. I also do a lot of stuff for Fairfax Online. I've got a blog, Gadgets on the Go, that's 3 days a week that runs on The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. And I had another one, Shiny Things, that was 2 days a week that's just been wrapped up recently.
Cool.
I also write for quite a few other people. I do stuff for Macworld and PC Authority. I've got a spot on 3AW on Monday afternoon, so I sort of, like, as a freelancer, I like to spread myself around a bit.
Good stuff. Cool. Man. Good stuff.
And you know where the money is.
And all the money, yeah, you get paid for it too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bit of a mercenary, to be honest. If you've got money, you've got my attention.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you also do Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. That's a long list. Sometimes people miss out. Yeah. I also, I've been doing stuff with the Tech Talk Radio guys for a couple of years. They, sent me an email a few years ago. They read something that I wrote on, it might have been IT Wire, I think, and said, hey, do you want to come in and have a chat about that? And then we said, oh, you know, we should do a regular thing. So we had a bit of a chat and decided that I've got like a 5-minute spot I do every week where I just rant about something. And, you know, once every couple of months I come into the studio. So, yeah, that's pretty cool too.
Good stuff, mate. And what was your favourite product review so far?
Ever? Probably ever. The Sonos gear is pretty cool. It's a home audio multi-room stuff. So you plug it all in and it sets up its own wireless mesh network around your house. It lets you stream music that you've already got from a computer or any device plugged into any one of the speakers. Lets you stream online from places like Rhapsody and stuff like that. Gives you a lot of control over different music and different room, and it just works. It's awesome stuff.
Cool. All right. Jason, any questions to Adam?
Yeah. Take us back a bit of history. How did you get started in journalism, and how long have you been a tech journalist?
Well, sorry, hang on just a second. Just shake it off. I've made it worse.
Losing his voice.
Just shaking off a bit of a cold there.
I'm allergic
to
us.
The John Laws. Go for the John Laws voice.
Check the voice.
Hello, world.
No condone death.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is Adam Turner.
After high school, I did professional writing and editing at TAFE for 2 years. And then I did quite well at that, which was a change from high school. Once I was doing something I was actually interested in, I actually did well at it. And then I used that to get into journalism and politics at Deakin in Geelong. And it was 3 years, but they let me do it in 2 years. They gave me a year off for good behaviour because I'd done well at TAFE. And so then I finished that with a degree in journalism and a degree in politics. And then I worked for the university for a year. And then I got a cadetship at The Age. And it was actually the third time I tried to get in. I was just about ready to give up, actually. Wow. Because it's quite a intensive process. You have to sit an exam and then you go through two or three rounds of interviews and I'd got closer each time and was about to give up, but I got in on the third go, and so that was the end of 97, so I was the 98 intake.
Okay, cool. Good stuff, mate.
I've always been interested in tech, and then it was in about 2000 that I moved over to the IT section because a friend of mine moved to the UK, so it took his spot on the IT section, and that turned out to be a good place to be.
Good stuff, sweet. Good stuff. Now, what about meeting famous people? Have you met anyone famous in the tech industry?
Yeah, I suppose. I met Douglas Adams once. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
Sweet.
Good stuff.
I'm not sure if he's famous in the tech industry, but he's generally pretty famous. I've been in the same room as Bill Gates. He's walked like 10 feet away from me.
That's cool.
I count that.
I guess, I don't know. It's not it wasn't on the list of questions I'd seen coming. Yeah, I've spoken to lots of people. But usually I find the interesting people to speak to are not so much the people who are really high up, but the people in the organization who actually know how the stuff works. And that's a good thing when you're dealing with a big company. We'll pick on Sony, for example, right? If I've got questions about Sony gear, there's certain people at Sony I know who know their stuff, and they come to the launches and stuff like that, and they're not the PR people and they're not the managing director, but they're the guy who knows how everything works, and they're the people who are worth knowing, because when it's, you know, 2 a.m. and you're pulling your hair out trying to get a stupid piece of review gear to work or figure out how this works with that, they're the person who has the answer. So I found that they're the most useful people to know.
Okay, cool. Good stuff. Now, does Steve have a question for Adam?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that often, you know, the same way with interviewing people, it's not always like the high uppers I necessarily want to interview. It's the people who really know the technical side of things.
Yeah. I mean, they've all got something different to offer. Sometimes it's interesting to interview the high up people. But, yeah, sometimes it's actually the people who are on the ground, people who are on the front line doing stuff.
Mm.
I like writing case studies. I'm good at writing case studies. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. But I'm good at finding the interesting aspect to things that other people would find boring. And that's usually finding someone who's on the front line doing something really cool and then going, I think that's cool. And then knowing how to explain what's cool about it in a way that someone else goes, yeah, I kind of think that might be cool too.
Okay, good stuff. Now, Tim, got a question for Adam?
It's all really interesting and exciting. What was it like working for The Age?
Like working for any big organization, I suppose. It has its good points and its bad points. Got to the point where I was ready for me to move on. But the good thing about working for someone like The Age is that it opens a lot of doors for you. When I worked at The Age, my name wasn't Adam Turner. My name was Adam Turner from The Age. That was like one syllable, you know, one word.
I think I remember reading some of those articles. I'm a big fan of The Green Guide.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, I was a TV reviewer in 99, I think. But I've also been writing for LiveWire for a long time. Editor of LiveWire now used to be my boss and my editor back when I wrote for Next, which was the business IT section of The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald that ran on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And that shut down two or three years ago. But I had a column in that called Upgrade, which had been run for 5 or 6 years, and that was a product review column.
Now, Adam, I want to ask you about TiVo. I asked everyone about TiVo. What do you think about TiVo? Do you like it or hate it?
I like the TiVo. I was one of the few journos when it first came out in Australia that said I really like the TiVo, because most people focused on what it was missing compared to the others. Oh, it won't let you skip the ads. It won't let you copy your recordings off. And those things are annoying. But when it comes to the primary functions, when it comes to being good at making sure that you can watch the shows that you want to watch and record every episode and make sure you get the end of every episode, TiVo's better than pretty much anything.
Oh, it's definitely.
The only thing that's close is the Foxtel IQ too.
Oh, I wouldn't get Foxtel if you paid me. It's a waste of money.
No, that's the thing.
I'd rather TiVo.
I wouldn't pay for Foxtel, but if I was going to get Foxtel, I'd get an IQ too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it'd be worth having Foxtel without it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So have you got Foxtel? You don't have Foxtel, Adam?
No, I don't have Foxtel. I don't watch enough live television as it is. I don't think it's worth spending the money on.
Okay.
It's definitely not worth the money. It's over $100 a month.
It's getting, if you're a sport tragic though, I can see why you'd want one, because Australians get screwed, particularly with high definition free to air. It's just ridiculous what's happening with football and stuff like that. If you've spent the good money on a high definition television and you want to watch the footy each week in high def, then I can see why you'd be tempted to spend money on Foxtel.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to play this ad because I've got to play it in the beginning, so I'm going to come back and then we're going to have a chat to Lee about his setup, and we're back in a minute.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Well, I need to play that because if I didn't play it, they would have killed me. that's fine, Jason. Is that cool to play that? Yeah. So, Lee, what's happening, mate?
Not a lot, champ. I'm just glad to be here and be part of episode 150 with all you fine.
Oh, good, mate.
Boys in different countries around the world.
Good stuff, mate. Now, we've been doing home theater episodes for a few weeks now. What are you? You've been liking them,
mate? I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying the feedback that I'm getting from a lot of people. Particularly the whole HDMI cable episode. It was pretty awesome to have some feedback from that.
Yeah.
Particularly the people going, "Oh wow, so you're telling me that I can buy that $5 cable on eBay and it does the same job? Oh, awesome! I'm going to go buy it on eBay."
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, Adam, is it true if you buy a $5 HDMI cable and a $100 one? Much difference in them?
Not quality-wise. Very much difference. There's probably a difference between buying an absolute dirt cheap one and a good one for, you know, $10 or $15 maybe.
Yeah.
But the $300 ones, we won't point fingers, but I think we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Harvey Norman.
Yeah. But not just but some of the names and some of the brands. I don't think it's worth that kind of money. No, it doesn't make that much of a difference. It's a digital. Perhaps if it was analog, you'd have more of an argument to make. But when it's a digital technology, it's ones and zeros. It either gets through or it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a $1 HDMI cable. It works perfectly.
Yeah.
From eBay.
Yes. Yeah. I actually just ordered 10 of them.
Gee, that's crazy.
If you're running really long lengths, then it starts to make more of a difference.
Yes.
If you're running lengths of under, we'll say, 3 meters, then your $5 ones should do just as good a job. If you're trying to run, we'll say, a 10-meter length of HDMI, then you might see a difference between the cheap ones and the good ones.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But I wouldn't recommend running a length that long if you don't have to.
Okay. So Adam, what's coming up with you next, mate? Any reviews coming up soon? Any good ones you want to mention that you're going to do?
Yeah, I guess I've been playing with all kinds of stuff. I'm playing with an Optus Home Zone at the moment.
Okay. Good.
Does that actually work?
A little, sorry?
How does that work?
Bang your head against the wall for 3 days is how you get it to work.
I'm glad you know about it, because I actually looked at them, and what really upset me is the fact that, you know, in fine print on the Optus website it said, "Oh, please note for ABN holders only." How's it called the Optus Home Zone if it's for ABN holders only?
Seriously, it's for ABN holders only? I hadn't seen that. Now, that can't be right.
Someone in marketing must have made a boo-boo because I sort of scratched my head.
Someone in marketing made a boo-boo when they wrote easy to set up on the box.
I was going to say, does it come with a complimentary NASA degree in the box?
Well, the thing is, it would be easier to set up if everything goes right. But when you dig through the fine print and then fire four or five links to get to the troubleshooting guide, you find out that you may actually need to set up port forwarding on your router to get it all to work.
Oh, wow.
They give you guides to how to set up all the routers, and none of those guides actually include any details about port forwarding, which is kind of useless. So it took me 2 or 3 days to get it to work and for a whole range of reasons. It seems like a good idea. Basically, what it's designed to do is be a tiny little mobile base station that sits in your house. So if you've got really bad Optus coverage, you can get this base station, plug it in your house, plug it into your internet access, and then your mobile phone will talk to the base station rather than try and talk to the mobile network. And it costs $5 a month or $15 a month, depending on what plan you're on, and they throw in free calls for one of the phones that are talking to it.
Now, that doesn't sound like a very good deal.
If your Optus coverage is that bad at home, you should not be with Optus if your Optus coverage is that bad.
It should be free.
Or it should be free. And I've heard reports of them actually giving them out to free for some people. But, I'm not going to defend Telstra because their customer service and billing system can be absolutely appalling.
Definitely.
Amen.
I agree with that. I reckon get rid of the people over in Malaysia and get English people in there.
It's not just that, though. It's the whole screw-up. I had problems with Optus too once, and I found that there was a stuff up where whether I was an Optus customer or whether I was a Telstra customer that lasted for a while as I was moving between providers. And the way I got it fixed was whenever I got through to someone from an overseas call center, I'm not sure which country it was in, they were really good. They would listen to the problem, they would click a few buttons, and then they would fix it. And then it would get broken again. And I'd ring back and I'd get someone in an Australian call centre. And all they wanted to do was tell me that it was Telstra's fault. I'd get through to an overseas call centre.
Wow. I'm not surprised at that statement.
They'd be very helpful and they would fix it. And then I would ring back again when it was broken again. And the Australian call centre, all they would want to do is blame Telstra. And I ended up screaming at them down the line, it's not Telstra's fault. You fixed it 5 minutes ago. Fix it again. Stop trying to blame Telstra for things that are your fault.
So you understand people
get frustrated with overseas call centres sometimes, but it actually works both ways. And I've had really good experiences with overseas call centres because they don't care about local politics. They don't care about blame the other guy. They just try and help you.
I used to work for Optus for 6 years, and that was exactly the problem that we had while we were there.
Line one in the playbook was blame Telstra.
It's always their line. It's because it's, if it's the PSTN line, that's the problem. So we're blaming that, and that's made by Telstra, and it's controlled by them still, and
All right. So,
similar playbook, and Telstra's playbook is offer them a discount to make them go away. They once charged me $600 on my phone bill that they shouldn't have. And the first thing the guy said is, we can reduce it to $300.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy.
You just stole my wallet. Now you want to give half back. Jeez. So I lost it, got through to a supervisor and had it fixed in 2 minutes.
Good stuff.
Sweet.
All right, let's chat to John for a minute. Hey, John, how are you, mate?
Hi, homie. I'm good. Thanks.
What did you call me? Homie?
Homie.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, homie.
Awesome.
Brad.
How's it going, mate? You going well?
Yeah, I'm going well here. I'm quite busy with the work, but I'm happy with the direction of where my life is going, though, because, as you know, I'm working on my way to come to Australia one day, and at the same time, I'm finding ways to reignite again the tech enclave. I have a roadmap of, the things to buy so I can have the technologies that I need, to come up with a better show.
Good stuff.
When it's ready.
Now, you were actually you were actually originally on Tech Webcast a long time ago.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. Yes, I suggested the name.
You did.
To make it, the Tech Webcast. And I missed being on this show. And I'm surprised and happy that you've reached 150, episodes. That's really amazing.
Well,
I told you that I was amazed when you reached 100, and now it's 150. Wow, that's really awesome, mate.
Yeah, it's good, mate, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty good, mate. It's pretty good, mate. And, what else? When is your podcast coming back?
I'm not too sure, mate, but one thing that I'm trying to work out is to, I want to buy a new machine so I could render videos more, you know, faster, especially now that I have a job and time is really limited. So I need a faster system to you know, for the videos.
Yeah.
But hopefully soon. Right now, I'm even if the second cloud is not yet there, I'm pretty busy and still... My life is still transparent online through the Grand Australia website.
Have you got a favorite thing on Tech Webcast that you've been on? Remember one episode, I think we chatted about something and then we started laughing.
Yeah. I think I recall that, mate. That was really funny.
Are you turning into an Aussie because you're saying you're mate now?
You might. Sounds like it.
I've met a few people here from different parts of the world, from North America, and from, you know, and they, when I talk to them, and after like an hour of talking to them, they were like, "You sound a bit like Australian," and I was like, "Really?"
G'day, mate. G'day.
That's awesome.
Good on you.
They just said, I was surprised because they, you know, it came from people from the Western world. And yeah, like they noticed it. And I was like, they told me, like, maybe you talk to a lot of Australian people. And I just say, yeah, I talk to them every day.
Yeah, he watches a lot of Neighbours.
Yeah, watch a lot of Neighbours. Yeah.
Neighbours.
Love that show. All right, let's talk.
Everybody loves good neighbours.
Okay. Let's talk to Steve from Chatterbox Live. Chatterbox Live, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Come in, Chatterbox Live.
Actually, I do got a question. What song did I play when John was singing karaoke? I played that on my show one time.
Oh, really? I can't remember.
Remember that?
I don't remember, but when was that? When was that? I can't remember.
I don't know. It was like 3 or 4 months ago, something like that.
Was he on the show or?
No. You just wanted me to play. One of his karaoke songs.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yes, that's right. I remember, yeah, he did a karaoke song, yeah. And and also this, do you remember this, Steve? Here's something you might like.
This summer, you'll be amazed by one man with a dynamic microphone and lots of technology. Watch Chatterbox Live with Steven, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Central, here.
And that's an intro that Peter made, and he actually made an outro for us too. So I'm going to play that. Play that at the end of the show. Yeah, Peter from Marco Patrol done some pretty good stuff for us so far. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Oh yeah.
And Steve also mentioned. I just want to mention Steve as well. He actually sponsored me this new mic, and appreciate it, mate.
What did you get?
So how do you find it, Brad?
I love it, mate. It's great. Yes, it's better, mate. It's heaps better.
Yeah, I read your tweet that you now feel like Leo Laporte.
I am Leo Laporte.
Yeah, you are.
It's a good, great mic, and I appreciate it, Steve.
It was a PR40, wasn't it?
PR40 by Howell Music, mate.
Cool.
And So, Steve, you were on Tech Webcast a while back, weren't you? You've been on a few shows. Yeah. And
a couple of times.
How you been? Do you like them? Do you like being on the show?
Yeah, it's fun. Talk about all kinds of interesting things.
Good stuff.
In the land out under.
Good stuff, mate. And I'm glad you enjoy it. And also we've got Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, mate? And now you do a YouTube channel all to do with iPhone and iPad stuff and other different stuff as well. Give us the background on that.
Yeah, a couple years ago, it started out as something. It's just get it in the cases and stuff like that. Kind of keep it real light, keep it real simple. But I mean, I've always liked tech. I've always liked taking things apart, as I started to do recently. If anybody's seen my videos, I've learned how to take apart an iPhone 4 and basically change it up, do the color plate changes and whatnot. But I've always enjoyed taking things apart and trying to put them back together. You know.
That's the tricky bit, putting them back together.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the videos are for.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, just talking tech in general. It's what I really enjoy doing.
Cool as, mate. And how hard was it to put the iPhone back together?
Actually, take your time. It wasn't really that big of a deal. I mean, just as long as you know where everything goes. I think the biggest challenge was keeping the screws where they're supposed to be because once you start looking at them, they all look the same. No. There's a couple ones that are shorter. No. It's the same damn thing. I was like, can't tell the difference.
So, Margaret, have you got your mate there, mate, near you?
What's that?
Have you got your mate nearby?
Oh, yeah. Dude, come here. Come here.
What?
Get over here.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Brad, how's it going,
hey,
dude?
Man, what's up?
Hang on, hold on. Just kind of chilling out here with the MTP Flyers, Mike Panetta, and I'm just kind of watching the Phillies game we've going on over here.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah.
say hello to Stephen from Chatterbox Live.
Hey, what's going on, Stephen? This is Dave Cartman. Hey, you somebody famous? See, I'm somebody famous.
Holy crap, yeah. We got Cartman on the show.
Goddamn right, you do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
this makes meeting Bill Gates seem like nothing.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
That's funny.
Does anybody have any questions for me?
What is your favorite iPhone app?
I like fart apps. I think they're pretty key. I'm going to get my iPhone and... that little finger. I like playing Coin Dozer. That's a pretty cute game. But like more important apps, I like the Haytail app because I don't have a Nextel and that kind of works like a Nextel and you can like talk to your friends and it's free. It's pretty cute.
Cool. Has Kenny got an iPhone as well?
Yeah, Kenny's poor. He don't have an iPhone.
Oh. He's got a HP touchpad.
Yeah, you get that. He still can't afford that.
He found it in a garbage bin.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll probably go try to steal him one, but we don't steal, right?
No, stealing's bad. Don't steal.
It's bad. Yeah. No, HP's giving him away, so you won't have to steal.
Exactly. It's your cash.
All right.
I was going to talk to Adam about that as well. What's his opinion on the state of things? We've had a lot of big news this week in the tech news, like HP throwing out their touchpad, all their Palm Pre stuff, and also giving up on the PC manufacturing business.
Really?
What's your opinion on that?
Well, you'd be pretty dirty if you bought one this week, but you'd also be a bit silly. You should have
said Harvey Norman's given refunds.
Yeah, Harvey Norman. I mean, people say nasty things about Harvey Norman, but they should have credit. They deserve credit for this, that they've actually said, if you bought one from us this week, bring it back in and we'll either give you your money back or we'll put the money towards a new, different tablet.
Like,
so they've done the right
too.
Things
iPad.
By customers.
iPad too.
Yeah.
Well, you would think, I mean, the Android tablets are pretty good as well.
Zoom or the Samsung? What do you like out of the Android ones?
I haven't used the Samsung yet. I've used the Motorola Zoom and I've used the Acer Iconium. There's a few things I like about the Acer. It's got a full-size USB port in it, and it's a USB host and a USB slave, whereas the Zoom doesn't do that. So for some people, that would be the killer thing right there.
Have you tried the AMD Windows version of that?
Windows just doesn't work on tablet. I played with them both at the launch, and I just don't – even Windows 7 is supposed to be touch-friendly. But it's not really.
Was it fast enough? If you want
something as a tablet, it wasn't so much that it wasn't fast enough. It's just that you're still trying to fight with Windows in a touchscreen environment, and it's not designed from the ground up to do that. Smartphone.
I just would prefer that hardware platform because then you could like install Ubuntu Linux on it with like the Unity interface. That would be really good for it.
Windows needs a proper tablet skin to go over the top of it, even if
Windows 8.
Well, that's what it looks like. That's kind of what they said they were doing with Windows 7, but they didn't. But maybe that's what Windows 8 is. I want it to basically run a full touch-friendly skin over the top. I want it to act like a Windows Phone 7 device when I'm using it as a tablet and then switch back to be a Windows device when I'm trying to use it as a device with a keyboard.
That's what you're trying with Windows 8.
Sorry?
With Windows 8, that's what you're trying to do.
Like that's what they're trying to do, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't really think that's going to work all that cleanly, you know. All that's a lot going on under such a tiny hood.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if they can get it to work right, and they've got to get it to run well on the different processors and stuff like that. I think they're working hard to get it to run on the Atom processors. It's one of the the ARM processors. Yeah, because that will be one of the keys to getting to doing it right. But with the
Atom, what do you think about HP's idea that? And I don't even know if this is true or not. I just read it in an article that the WebOS is more or less just going to be sold off to other companies to make the product, and they're just
Why'd want it? Why would a developer want to touch that platform? Why would anyone want to touch that platform now? When you buy a device like this, you're not buying a device. You're buying into an ecosystem, and you're buying the promise of what that ecosystem will be one day. And that means that everyone has to be on board. The hardware, the software, the developers, the end user. And this just doesn't have it. Why would you invest time into this platform now? So I just don't see why, you know, HTC or Samsung or any of the hardware makers would go, yeah, let's turn around and make WebOS devices. They don't need that kind of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Between Windows Phone 7 and Android and whatever, I don't see why they would want to bother. It's not like WebOS has got this massive following the way that something like Android has. It could have if they'd done it right. But I just
did a long time ago. Had a huge following for a long time.
And they've just managed to kill that, basically. They've just run that into the ground. Yeah, which is a shame because you had got the timing right, and you've had to hang on to that huge Palm user base who have now, you know, dispersed and gone onto other platforms. Mostly, I would assume, if you had have been able to take that huge Palm user base and move them straight onto WebOS and go, look, here we go, we've got something that runs just as well as the competition, going to work nicely with all the other products. They might have come on board, and then you would have had a huge user base from day one, and it would have made a lot of sense.
They had their next operating system that was going to come out, and people started programming for it, and then they canned it, and then they talked about WebOS for about 3 or 4 years, and eventually brought it out this year, and people just can't trust them. They've been burnt.
An iPhone or an Android device, and you've lost the critical mass.
Yeah, and they got burnt.
There's a lot HP's doing that's real questionable for the past year.
Well, now they've just decided to entirely get rid of their PC division, their tablet division, and their smartphone division. So they're pretty much pulling out of consumer by the looks of it. And that might be... So the thing is with getting rid of the touchpad, they didn't just turn around and say, oh, the touchpad is no good, let's get rid of it. The touchpad was like collateral damage in a bigger corporate decision of let's get out of these devices, let's get out of this consumer stuff. So it's just really unfortunate timing that it was a few days after it was sale.
So you think they're sticking with just being basically an industrial service kind of company?
Enterprise. Well,
that's kind of what they're talking about.
For someone the other day for an enterprise analysis mob. I can't remember the name from off the top of my head. But, yeah, while they're doing this, they're actually spending money. So, yeah, they're looking at enterprise, which autonomy. Is probably a smart move because, really, if you're up against Android and Apple and stuff like that, you've got to have something that really kicks ass, and the touchpad did not. It was slow. It was cumbersome. You could forgive the lack of apps and stuff like that because, hey, it's a fledgling ecosystem. You've got to give it time to take off. And that's the same, like the first Android phones weren't fantastic. I know a guy who bought HTC Dream, but he was taking a gamble, you know.
he got it sent from the US, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I know who you're talking about.
It was just really sluggish on the hardware, and then they put out a new firmware update, which didn't seem to fix it, didn't seem to make much of a difference. And it's like, why would I pay this when for the same money I can get an Android or an iPad? If it was half the price or if it was amazingly good, it was just another also-ran. You're better off not. Go hard or go home, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Buy an iPad. Yeah. Bugger off the other ones. Bugger off the other ones and buy an iPad too.
Apple and the other big news that we had this week, Adam, was Google
buying
Motorola Mobility. What do you think of that? Yeah. They're going to be going up against HTC and Samsung and everyone. Well,
but I don't think that Google's that stupid. I don't think that Google are going to start doing Motorola any favors. I don't think that HTC and Samsung are going to be treated as second-class Android manufacturers because that would just be insane. That would be shooting yourself in the foot.
I agree.
The people seem to think that it's more done as a defensive move to get the patents and stuff like that because Apple have just gone insane. They're on the warpath suing everybody. So Google's trying to protect the ecosystem. And this move is actually good for HTC and Samsung and the others if it means that Apple then can't turn around and say, oh, by the way, you've got to you scrap all your smartphones because we're suing you for the patent. So Apple's looking at protecting the entire ecosystem and therefore protecting all the Android manufacturers. Now, there's a similar thing where it'll be interesting to see what happens between Nokia and Microsoft, because Nokia sold out and said to Microsoft, hey, we'll make Windows Phone 7 devices, because Microsoft paid them an insane amount of money. And one of the reasons why they did it is it's now basically killed off the Mego platform, the alternatives to Windows. So Microsoft was smart.
Symbian.
Yeah, and Symbian was sort of on the way up, but Mego is going to be the next big thing, and Mego looks pretty much dead in the water now as well. So Microsoft spent $1 billion to get Nokia into the camp, so then Nokia would kill off Mego. That's the way I see it. Mm-hmm. But now the question is Microsoft going to do special favors for Nokia? Will Nokia Windows Phone 7 devices be able to do extra things that the other ones, like the HTC ones, can't? Now, that would be stupid from Microsoft to do that, I reckon, because they need the support of all the handset makers. And if you start playing favorites and lose, we'll say, HTC, who makes some of the best handset, like hardware-wise, makes some great stuff. If they walk away and go, well, we don't want to deal with you because you're playing favorites with the others, well, then that's insane, because you've just shot yourself in the foot. So I don't think Google will be dumb enough to do Motorola any big favors, and it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft's dumb enough to do Nokia any big favors, because if you annoy all your other partners, you haven't really done yourself any favors.
You don't think they'll bring out a Google phone that's got none of the extra skinning and crap that people put in them?
That's what the Nexus was.
But they need a new one soon, don't they, for ice cream sandwiches?
Do they?
I think they've got something else coming out. I can't remember the name of it. I heard it a while back.
I don't see why Google would bother. Why do they want to be a handset maker?
Love the name of the food.
Other people do it.
Do you think they'd go into Google TV with Motorola Division because they do PVRs and stuff?
That could be a decent.
I don't know. They got shut down so hard with that Google TV. I don't even know if they want to visit that just yet.
They're already doing
the network's paperware.
Yeah,
and they did a good job of it. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Jason, have we got any tech news, mate?
Mostly what we've been talking
about. All right.
Good
stuff. All right. Well,
They had a report: two Perth teenagers have been charged over allegedly using a toy gun to fake a series of armed robberies and filming the incidents to later post on YouTube.
That's crazy.
Police allege the youths, aged 13 and 16, faked the armed robberies at a fast food restaurant, a pharmacy, and a supermarket in Warnbrough, in Perth South, on Thursday afternoon between 3:30 and 3:45. In each store, one of the youths used a toy firearm to make demands to staff, while the second teenager recorded the incidents on a mobile phone, police said. They left each store before staff could comply with any demands. Police say they believe the youths planned to post the recordings on YouTube. Inspector Paul McMurtry said the behaviour from the teenagers was totally unacceptable and was a serious criminal offence. What is of serious concern is innocent members of the public are being subjected to a harrowing experience for some misguided use to make their social networking pages more appealing, he said. The victims are unaware that they are the brunt of a prank and may experience the same levels of anxiety and stress as in a real event. The youths have been charged with being armed in a way that may cause fear. They will appear in Rockingham Children's Court on August the 31st.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Good job, guys.
That's amazingly crazy. Stupid.
It is.
Yeah.
Really
it's not surprising,
stupid.
Surprising,
though. Yeah. All right. Okay, so here's a request. Here's a request from Lee.
I love scotch. Scotch is scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
What is this?
The arsonist has oddly shaped feet.
Lee wanted to play that.
Mate, what can I say? I love scotch.
I don't know why you want to play that anyway. All right, so Adam, where can we find you on the internet, mate?
There's
Twitter,
the
website.
Age in the City Morning Herald is one of the places to look at gadgets on the go on the tech pages. Also, another one I didn't mention is Hide Your Opinion, which is a blog that I write with a few other tech writers.
Good stuff.
PC Authority, 3AW, Macworld. Basically, I don't know. What do they say? Wherever good magazines are sold.
In newsagents.
Adam,
I like
Adam
to spread
Turner.
Myself around.
Adam
yeah, and my work website is adamturner.com.au, and that's when you'll get a feel for who I'm writing for at the moment and what I'm doing.
Could you put your link? Can you put that link to that site in the chat so I can put that in the show notes, mate? That would be fantastic. All right, well, let's move on to the home theater edition of this show because, Lee, we usually do this show tomorrow, don't we, Lee?
Yes, we normally do, but hey, we're all here, so let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, now we got Max over from America. Now, he's got a TV premiere. He did a couple of videos on that, and he's going to give us a quick review on it. And Steve, we're going to try and get Steve over TV if we can. And yes, so Max, how are you, mate?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm going pretty well, mate. Are you enjoying the show so far?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is my first podcast with a whole group of guys, and really, I'm glad to be here.
That's crazy. All right, okay, so what is up with the TiVo?
TiVo is actually a pretty nice answer. It was the only answer I had for what I decided to do. I went, I had cable for a while, then I went to DirecTV and had to question my insanity after that one for a little while. And so I decided to finally drop all of it and go with over-the-air programming. Well, there isn't a lot of options out there unless you build your own system.
So, Max, can you talk Steve into getting a TiVo, will you?
All right, Steve. TiVo's great. You should buy one.
What a sell.
Yeah, what a sell.
Yeah. Just a side note to all of our viewers, we do not endorse any particular product, nor do we get any kickbacks.
No, we don't.
We only go with the amazing products that we get. TiVo, if you're listening, send us all a TiVo so we can talk more about TiVo.
Yeah, TiVo rocks.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a free TiVo for review.
Yeah, no conflict of interest there at all.
Yeah.
We've already got a TiVo.
Yeah, I already got a TiVo too, but at the moment it's broken.
I might buy one from Kroger.
Hey, I've got a Sony Play TV. That's pretty good,
that
too.
That sucks, like, mate. Get rid of that.
My sling box.
Yeah, get rid of that Sony device, mate.
It's very cool, actually.
All right, boys and girls. Now that we've moved on to the home theater section,
go ahead.
Let's do the whole, you know, yours is bigger than mine, in the sense that I'd like to know what you guys have in your, you know, lounge room, your den, your study, your rumpus room, whatever the hell you want to call it, wherever the hell your TV is, what's hooked to it.
Xbox TV, TiVo, and Apple TV.
All right, it's my turn now. Please try not to kill me. I've now got an Apple TV Generation 1, a boxy Trader. Box. Yes, I know. I've got myself a T-Box from Telstra. Oh, I've got an Ozstar MyStar with recording capabilities, which is equivalent to the Foxtel IQ thingy over here. I've got an Xbox 360. I've got a PlayStation 3. I've got a home media PC. I think that's about it.
And me, I have got a TiVo, Xbox, a boxy box, iPad, iPhone, and a big large TV. And a TiVo.
I've got a sling box hooked up to an HDMI switch, which converts off to that, to the cable box, to a Blu-ray player, Apple TV, Wii, Xbox 360, all running to a HP server. And
my condolences.
So sad. And that's the
Apple, you know, the iPad, the iPhone, and all that stuff up there.
All right. What about you, Steve?
I'm kicking it old school with a 42-inch CRT television, Sony.
Oh, my God.
And a 420i.
And,
welcome to the podcast, Grandpa.
For gaming, I got my first generation Pong game.
Atari.
Do you live in the Smithsonian?
That's crazy.
I've got an Atari as well.
Hey, don't forget the Sega Dreamcast.
Oh, I wish I had one of those.
ColecoVision. In television, baby. I still got mine in the closet.
Oh, lucky. I had a VZ200.
And what about you, Max? What do you got?
What I've got is I'm using over the air. So I've got a Turek antenna that's powered. It goes to, I've got an Xbox. My TV is LG, which also takes in Netflix and Vudu and all that, so I've got, like, options. I had a Wii, but I bought it and never used it, so it's in the back somewhere. I can best this. I've got an actual VCR hooked up to the back of my TV also.
Okay, cool.
VHS cassette. Oh, yeah, all just right. In case.
Next question. What about you, John? What do you got in your lounge room?
Oh, I'm away from my home, so I only got my laptop and my big brain.
Okay. That's cool, mate.
Awesome, John.
He's got YouTube.
Yeah, you have YouTube and music YouTube. This is good. All right, so Max, yeah, what else is about the TV do you like about it?
Well, one thing that it does really well, that it does, like I said, I used the DVR from DirecTV as well as the DVR from the cable company, which is Atlantic Scientific. The TiVo does this amazing thing. It records my shows when I want them.
Yeah.
It's just unheard of. You don't get that the other ones.
I agree.
I mean,
DirecTV. I got a question yeah. for all you guys real quick. I'm sorry. While you're talking about DVRs and cable DVRs, yeah. Over here in the United States, whoever else is in the States, maybe this is more for you guys.
I'm there.
Does anybody have a problem when they record a show and it starts and it's like a minute of the previous show and then your show doesn't finish recording?
Yeah.
Even in Australia
as well.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I know you can change the end times.
We have 20 minutes overlaps in Australia.
Yeah, but I can't stand it. Now, I watch wrestling. Everybody watches wrestling. I have to record the next hour of a show because they go over like 20 minutes.
Yeah, they do that here too.
Recorded to run a bit late.
Especially with live shows.
Yeah, it's the absolute worst.
I had that problem with the DirecTV and the cable one, but with the TiVo, I haven't had that issue.
You can tell
sometimes that
light.
It sends me emails saying, "Hey, we're going to record over. Is that cool?"
Yeah.
And if I don't answer, it just does it anyways. And
I like that.
But I haven't had that much
disobedient
trouble.
DVR.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the one thing that TiVo has a problem with the two tuners. If you record two shows on the same channel, one after the other, and then another one on a third channel, the third one gets skipped because one tuner does the first show and then goes into extended time on that tuner, and the second one starts on the same channel doing the show after on the same TV. So that's two tuners doing the one TV channel, and your other show gets missed on any other channel because it can't work out that the same tuner could keep going on the same channel.
Yeah, right. That is an annoying thing.
Doesn't it give you like a message saying it'll be overlapped something? Jason, though, doesn't it?
Too many tuners in a sentence.
What was that, Brad?
Doesn't it give you like a message when it overlaps something, when it conflicts?
Yeah, but the point is if you have extended on a show that starts at 7 minutes and you extend it 20 minutes, it can't calculate that it should just keep going straight through to the next show, but it switches the other tuner onto that channel to do
the easiest thing
20
to do
minutes that you're getting on the other tuner.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're trying to take
you go to
the same
record that show at 9 o'clock
week.
And it tells you that it's a conflict, and you're like, no, it's not. I've got one show, you know, and you end up changing the time back, and
my cable box does that.
Sorry to bring up a whole new conversation. Maybe that's for a different show.
Yeah, maybe a different show. Anyway, Max, keep continuing talking into Steve to
get
a TiVo.
Sorry about that, Max.
I want Steve to get a TiVo.
I don't probably get that issue because I'm using it over the air.
Yeah, that's what's good about it. Yeah, agree.
So everything runs on time, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because it's all digital.
Okay.
Whereby it's like still doing sci-fi or something like that. You know, they might add the wrestling in or extend the show. I don't know. Spike TV back when I had cable seemed to be always kind of a jerk about it and, you know, make sure the time was off. But on my TiVo, I've had no problems with it, but I'm using it over the air.
So Max, why would Steve want to get a TiVo?
Oh, well, what you using right now, Steve?
He's using an old Motorola box.
A VCR.
An old Motorola box.
Rabbit ears.
Got a stenographer who writes down for him.
He's got a Betamax.
Betamax.
I still have one of them. They're excellent.
He's got an old Motorola cable box, and I'm trying to talk him to getting one, but he doesn't want to pay the $20. I'm sorry, Steve, I'm putting you in the spot, but you know, I'm sure, up to you. You know,
take up a donation on PayPal.
I was just
going to
say,
I've offered him that, but he says no.
Let's all buy Steve a TiVo. Come on,
they're $99, and
hell yeah, let's chip in, boys. Come on,
$10 each.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
$10 each.
Steve, you're getting a TiVo.
I'm not getting rid of my LaserDisc. Now he doesn't want to accept the free gift. I'm keeping my VCR too.
Oh, man.
We'll get you two TiVos.
I'll give $1.
VCR's the fallback weapon for the fall man happens.
I think the next thing you need is get rid of that TV out of the lounge room. That's a bit of the old thing too. 1990, whatever it is. That TiVo? TV? See?
Does it have color?
It does.
Well, actually, thinking of upgrading it to color eventually.
Putting color cellophane on the front doesn't count.
I got to wait till the tubes come up.
It takes about 5 minutes for the tubes to warm up.
Though. So, but really, Steve, why won't you get a TiVo?
I don't know. It's just
I don't want one either.
Then I got to go to the cable company. I got to get the cable card.
Steve, are you in Australia or are you in US?
US.
No, in America.
Okay, he's got to pay the monthly fee. That kind of stuff. See, I'm going over the air, so I don't pay any more fees if you programming, which is why it's $20 a month. Seemed okay.
I just don't record that much. Yeah. Even when I had a.
So what do you do next? Take a leak or on the show?
I was going to say it must be hard recording on a VCR.
Yeah, I never could program that thing. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, you get epilepsy from the 12 o'clock strobe.
He pays a homeless guy to come into his house, press record.
Oh, wow.
That's
cruel.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Come in your house and hit the record button.
All right, okay. What else has been happening at home theater, mate? What else do you want to talk about at home theater?
I actually had a question for Cartman.
Go ahead.
Does he like TiVo?
I think it's okay. I don't like the monthly service, so I just take stuff off the internet and I rip it. Yeah.
Hey, fair enough. Do you use TV torrents?
What's a TV torrent?
Where you torrent TV.
I do that. Mike helps me with that sometimes.
Cartman.
Awesome. I torrent your show.
Oh, you do? Wait a minute. Hey, Asher, you gotta pay me for that. Thank you.
Cartman, no, man.
Insane.
Yeah, just download. Yeah, just download count. The show. Just download for
He'll
free.
He'll pay you in cheesy poofs.
Yeah, fuck pay.
Yeah, cheesy poofs. There's your key.
Pretty cool.
How awesome is it that the guys from South Park let bloody Cartman loose?
Yeah, why is that?
It's pretty good, I'm calling.
Actually, I heard it's canceled.
It's pretty good, I'm calling. Okay. Drugs are bad, I'm okay. You get back into school, I'm calling, Cartman.
Drugs are bad, I'm calling.
Shut up. Okay.
I'm calling. Okay.
Okay. That's bad, okay?
It's so funny. I didn't even know what South Park was until I saw the movie.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Now you're lost.
I was pretty good in that movie. Yeah,
oh, you're great in the movie. Because it was funny. It's all these mothers with their children on the front row ahead of me, like two rows of it. I guess their kids said, hey, we want to see this movie. And then it opened up with the uncle song.
I love that song.
They leave and they're like covering their ears.
I could stop laughing because so I don't know what happened after that.
Fuck Drunko yesterday.
Can we please make sure we beep out the swearing?
Yeah, Brad will have to send me the podcast so I can edit it.
Thank you.
You don't want an explicit tag.
Yeah, I'll just put it in. I'll just say it's a bit of swearing in it. But anyway, it's all good. Max, what else you been up to, man?
Basically, I'm going through and I'm doing whenever I get a new piece of technology or I realize I don't find something I need for technology I have, I go ahead and do just a mini podcast on Max Mentum, my YouTube page. And it's something I'm finding I'm really starting to enjoy. It's a nice hobby.
Cool, cool.
In real life, I do other stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, good stuff. Okay, well, listen, this has been a great episode. It's been 1 hour and 5 minutes. Good for pointing that out, Steve.
Really?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
And I don't need to upload this, so I'm going to better end this now. And guys, thanks for being on. Adam, thanks for being on, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me. And, happy birthday anniversary.
Thanks,
big thank you to all of our guests who've made this show even more awesome than it was last week.
Definitely. Crazy. Definitely. Great Cheers. Show. And Steve, where can they find you, Steve?
And justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude.
Well, I hope you have a TiVo by then. And Jason, where can they find you, mate?
I'm at bluebilby.com, Warlock on Twitter, WAULOK, and Bluebilby Apps on Twitter.
Okay, and me, I'm Brad Ozen at Tech Webcast, and on Facebook, same thing. And Lee?
Buster.
Lee?
Tech Webcast, all the way.
But you don't use a Twitter, mate, so what would you say for?
Oh, all right then. Okay, you can follow me at AussieGuy, OZYGUI87 on Twitter. That's right. Where I tweet my life away.
All right, and Mr. Max, where can I find you, mate?
YouTube, Max Mentum, double X's. and as well as on Twitter, Max Munton.
And what about you, Michael?
You can find me on YouTube and Twitter, both at MTP Flyers, and doing a little writing for runaroundtech.com.
Good stuff, good stuff. And Adam, Twitter, mate, your Twitter?
Yeah, Adam_Turner.
Cool, good stuff. All right, let's meet episode 150. Jason, good stuff, mate.
Yeah. What about about Cartman?
Oh, yeah, and Cartman, yeah. Where can we find him, in jail or what?
I'm not allowed to be on Twitter. I got
the parole officer said he can't.
So you can find me.
All right, okay, let's fight.
You can find me on your ass. Yeah, that's it.
Hi, I'm Mozzie Techheads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly.
Yo, Tech Webcast, it's Dylan Lewis here. Just wanted to say happy episodes. Can't believe you've done so many. Makes me want to go. Yous are awesome. Keep up the good work. I know you got plenty more in you. Maybe another episodes. So what happens now? Do we have a party? I bought some beers. I guess it's time to say... I bought you some presents. Here you go. It's a chicken sound effect. I hope you like it. Got you this too. It's a cow sound effect. Anyway, I hope you like the beer and the presents. Respect to you all. And please have me on again soon because I love chatting to you dudes. Happy episode birthday to you. Love you, Tech Webcast. Bye for now from Dylan Lewis.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv. And subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for Geeks.